at Radio 3. Next.
Drama on 3.
Why have you come back? I mean, just like that, no warning.
It's tricky.
You don't want to talk about it?
No, not really.
Starring Gina McKee.
Did she cheat on you?
Hmm?
Did she cheat on you?
What makes you say that?
It's my guess, that's all. I'm sure she slept with another boy and you found out about it. Is that what happened? Or is it bound to be?
Florian Zeller's award-winning black comedy.
You never really liked her.
Who?
Elodie.
Oh, I found her vulgar.
Elodie?
And quite ugly.
The Mother, tonight at 9, and then available on the BBC Radio 3 website.
This is BBC Radio 3. The time is just after 6 o'clock and it's time for Radio 3 in concert, live from the Barbican Hall. It's presented by Martin Handley.
Thank you very much indeed, Mark. Shakespeare and Goethe, the silent confidants of my torments, they hold the key to my life. The words of Berlioz. And tonight his setting of Goethe's Faust comes to the Barbican Concert Hall as part of the This Is Rattle Festival at the start of this new London Symphony Orchestra season as Sir Simon Rattle begins his tenure as music director. Hello and welcome to the Barbican live on Radio 3 for this performance in which the LSO is joined by four soloists, mezzo-soprano Karen Cargill singing Marguerite, tenor Brian Heimel as Faust himself, the baritone Christopher Purvis, a last-minute replacement for the indisposed Gerald Finley as Mephistopheles, and the bass Gabor Bretz singing Branda. With the London Symphony Chorus and later the Tiffin Children's Choirs, it's a full house of performers. Berlioz was 24 when he first read Goethe's Faust, and he simply couldn't put it down at meals, in the theatre, in the street. He recognised a soulmate in Goethe who crafted in words the same feelings he was trying to capture in music. The translation Berlioz read was mostly in prose, but with some scenes, songs and hymns in verse, and it was those Berlioz set first. But he withdrew them 6 months after publishing them, aware he'd only scratched the surface of Goethe's masterpiece and dreaming of one day being able to do it full justice. 15 years later, he returned to make a deeper and larger scale treatment of the legend. He'd realised he needed to be as free with the story as Goethe had been, and he shoehorned his famous Hungarian march into it simply by naming Hungary as the venue for the opening of the story. He called Faust an opera, a kind of opera, and finally a dramatic legend, so putting it firmly into that shifting territory somewhere between symphony and opera, of which he was such an expert. Simon Rattle.
I'd never thought of this as an opera. I'd thought of it as a film. Possibly a film made by Terry Gilliam. It was waiting for cinema, but of course you need it to be live. It's quite a long piece, but it seems to last about 15 minutes. It's a shock when the interval comes, and it's a shock when the end comes. Particularly as it's a piece that starts almost in the middle, as though the violas are apologising for a melody and Faust is apologising for a melody, and within 45 seconds, you're in a kind of ecstatic world that you had no idea could have been developed from that. I do get the sensation that Berlioz was a Mephistopheles kind of guy.
Well, as I said, part one of The Damnation of Faust takes place on the Hungarian plains, where Faust is watching the dawn alone. His soul is heavy. A group of dancing peasants can do nothing to cheer him up, and even an army passing by and eager for the heroism of battle, which is where the Hungarian march comes in, can't rouse him. Part two finds Faust sitting in his study in a town in northern Germany, despairing of ever finding happiness. He decides to poison himself, but hearing the Easter hymn being sung in the nearby church reminds him of the faith he once had, and he loses his resolve. Mephistopheles appears and says he's the spirit of life who can give Faust everything he desires. Show me, says Faust, and Mephistopheles transports them to a Leipzig tavern where a party's in full swing. One of the revellers, Branda, sings a song about a poor poisoned rat, to which Mephistopheles responds with his own Song of the Flea. Faust has had enough of all this, so they fly off to the banks of the River Elbe, where Faust falls asleep to Mephistopheles' lullaby. He dreams of dancing sylphs conjuring up a vision of the angelic Marguerite. And when he wakes, he asks Mephistopheles where she is. He says he'll take Faust to her, and they join with a group of students and soldiers who are on their way to the town where she lives. It is a very packed Barbican stage. London Symphony Chorus. Lots of them. In tiers at the back. Two sets of timpani. Double basses behind the first violins, which is rather nice for me in my box just at the back of the stalls. And four harps. It is indeed a full stage, and indeed we will also be making use of the stalls later on when the children's choir comes in to indicate that we're in heaven at the very end of the Damnation of Faust. Ready, attuned, and just looking round, another very full house here at the Barbican, as it was for that opening concert that Mark Forrest was talking about a minute or so ago. And well worth catching up with for the sheer quality of the playing, and I thought a very special performance of Elgar's Enigma Variations. The lights go down. Expectant hall, nothing happening. Oh yes, we have a leader, Roman Simovich. Comes to the front of the stage, he takes his applause. And I come. Here come the three soloists, the first half, the first two parts of the Damnation of Faust, Brian Heinel, Christopher Purvis and Gabor Bretz. Together with conductor Simon Rattle. And in a moment we'll hear parts one and two of Berlioz's dramatic legend, The Damnation of Faust.
Thank you. Thank you. Penetra sic l'éclat de poignard, et qui flamme brûle dit for l'âme. Vraiment, pour un docteur, la demande est frivole. Je suis l'esprit de vie, et c'est moi qui cochonne. Que donnerais-tu le bonheur, le plaisir, tout ce que prévu le plus ardent désir. Eh bien, pauvre démon, fais-moi voir tes merveilles. Certes, j'enchanterai tes yeux et tes oreilles. Enfermé, triste comme la fleur qui range tes bouquins. Viens, suis-moi, change d'air. J'y consens, pardonne, pardonne-moi de la vie, laisse le fatras de ta philosophie.
Oh! Par un chant sur un sujet non moins touchant que le vôtre. Sans en user et dire, sacré tout le jour.
Thank you. Oh.
dusk, Faust and Mephistopheles return with the soldiers and students to the city, singing of the fleetingness of life and of seizing the moment when it comes. Parts 1 and 2 of Berlioz's dramatic legend, The Damnation of Faust. Faust sung by Brian Heimel, Mephistopheles by Christopher Purvis, and Brander by Gabor Breth, with the London Symphony Chorus and London Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Simon Rattle. It's that marvellous moment when Mephistopheles serenades or sings to sleep Faust, hypnotises him really with those visions of the sylphs, the trombones accompanying him, pretending to be strings, wolves in sheep's clothing, and indeed Christopher Purvis went up to the trombones to sing that lullaby. Well, in 20 minutes' time, in parts 3 and 4 of The Damnation of Faust, Faust gets to meet the angel of his dream, Marguerite, as Mephistopheles tightens the net on his soul. But first, during the interval here on Radio 3, the LSO's music education venue, LSO St Luke's, began its annual series of Radio 3 lunchtime concerts on Friday with 2 artist spotlight concerts. It's the same next Friday, one at lunchtime from 1 to 2, the other a rush hour concert from 6:30 to 7:30. And all involve former Radio 3 New Generation artists. So here's music performed on recordings by former New Gens. First, the Apollon Musagete Quartet in Stravinsky's rather sinister-sounding tango, followed by former New Gen violinist Esther Yu with pianist Robert Koenig in a sonata by the restless and impulsive violinist, composer and a swordsman of repute, Tartini, whose dusting of trills evokes dreams of the devil. Thank you.
Thank you.
Tartini's Devil's Trill Sonata, played by former Radio 3 New Generation artist Esther Yu, violin, and Robert Koenig, piano. And before that, the Apollon Musagete Quartet played Stravinsky's own quartet version of his Tango for Piano. And Esther Yu and Robert Koenig give the Radio 3 Rush Hour concert next Friday at 5.30. I think I said 6.30 before. 5.30 at LSO, St. Luke's. Music by Grieg, Vaughan Williams, Glazunov and Tchaikovsky. That'll be recorded for future broadcast. And it's just one of the many events in this opening fanfare to the London Symphony Orchestra's new season. 10 days of all kinds of concerts, events and installations under the umbrella title of This Is Rattle, marking the beginning of Simon Rattle's collaboration with the LSO as music director. Well, welcome back to a packed Barbican Concert Hall from me, Martin Handley, and the second half of this performance of Berlioz's dramatic legend, The Damnation of Faust, live here on Radio 3, given by the London Symphony Orchestra with Simon Rattle as part of this celebratory start to the new season. Karen Cargill sings Marguerite, Brian Heimel Faust, and Christopher Purvis Mephistopheles with the Tiffin Children's Choirs and the London Symphony Chorus. Well, just as some critics thought Berlioz hadn't a clue about anything, others suggested the legend of Faust had never been so clearly understood, with its portrayal of human frailty in the face of the unknown, its sense of mystery and irony. There isn't room in Berlioz's work for Goethe's philosophical depths, but the characters are there in full colour, a touchingly innocent Marguerite, an ironic, urbane Mephistopheles, and a Faust who stands for all possible romantic aspiration. Faust has often been staged, but it's not an opera, with the stage directions merely serving as explanations or to help Berlioz's favourite theatre, the imagination. Freed from the constraints of the opera house, he allows himself to linger on the text he feels needs the most musical expression, particularly when he's exploring the character of Faust himself. And then the visions of heaven and hell right at the end allow Berlioz to display all his magical abilities with orchestral sound. He'd just written his treatise on orchestration, so no doubt his handling of colour and technical brilliance are such striking features of Faust, balancing its world of the imagination. Well, as part three begins, Faust has left the students and found Marguerite's room. There he sings of his newfound happiness until Mephistopheles warns him Marguerite's coming and hides him behind the curtains. She comes in, musing she's seen her future lover in a dream, and she distracts herself by singing the ballad of the ever-faithful King of Thule as she plaits her hair. On the street outside, Mephistopheles summons his will-o'-the-wisps to cast their spell on the lovers. Inside, Faust steps out from his hiding place and Marguerite recognises him as her dream lover. Faust confesses his love and they fall into each other's arms, but Mephistopheles interrupts to say that neighbours have heard them and have gone to tell Marguerite's mother there's a man in the house. Promising to meet again the next day, the lovers part as Mephistopheles congratulates himself on having Faust's soul in his grasp. Part four finds Marguerite alone in her room, still obsessed by Faust, who's now deserted her. And the sounds of the students on the prowl in the distance remind her of the night they first met. Faust, too, is alone in an archetypal romantic landscape of forest and caves. He communes with nature, which alone, he says, can restore his belief in life. Mephistopheles appears and tells him Marguerite is in prison, condemned to death for poisoning her mother. She's used the sleeping drug Faust gave her to keep her mother quiet during their nights together once too often and killed the old lady. Mephistopheles tells Faust he will save Marguerite if he will agree to serve him. Faust does so, and the two gallop off, not as Faust imagines to Marguerite's house, but into the abyss of hell. Mephistopheles roars in triumph at the capture of Faust's tormented soul, which is welcomed by the chorus of the damned. Then there are two epilogues, the first on earth, recording the closing of Hell's Gate, and then the pardoned Marguerite is received into heaven. And that's where the children's choirs at the Tiffin Schools come to the fore, actually literally come to the fore in this performance. They're going to be in the central aisles of the stalls. Should be quite an effect. Well, the Sunday evening audience is back in the Barbican, or almost back in the Barbican. A few latecomers straggling down hastily down the steps, refinding seats. Otherwise, all is ready. London Symphony Chorus ranged behind the orchestra. Lots to do this evening, as you've already heard. Assorted soldiers, students, girls, spirits and devils. Lots of characterisation required in their voices. The auditorium goes dark once more. And from the gloom, appropriately, first appears Christopher Purvis, Mephistopheles, followed by Brian Heimel, Faust, Karen Cargill, Marguerite, and amongst them also, talking animatedly to some of the first violins, Simon Rattle, joining the LSO to perform parts 3 and 4 of Berlioz's The Damnation of Faust.
Je respire en air. Brise dans la joie, profite des instants. Adieu, modèle toi, où tu la perds. Bien, mes folies et moi, nous allons vous chanter le bel épi de l'âme. Thank you.
Margarita, je t'aime si beaucoup, mon amour. astre d'amour constant. Son influence à mi serait fort nécessaire, car tu rêves ici qu'on sait de pauvres enfants, Marguerite.
Et toi,
sans tout il faut me taire, tu n'aimes plus pourtant un cachot traîné, et pour un parricide à la mort condamné. Les chasseurs qui parcourent les bois,
achève, que tu dis.
Marguerite en prison. Certaines liqueurs brûlent un innocent boison qu'elle tenait de toi pour endormir sa mère pendant vos nocturnes amours. A causé tout le mal. Quelle sont ces chimères t'attendant chaque soir, on usait toujours. Et on attend ici que la vie est, on est morte. Tu comprends maintenant.
Fais étonnerre.
En sorte que son âme pour toi la conduit.
Sauve-la.
Je suis le coupable, on vous reconnaît là, ridicules humains. N'importe, je suis le maître encore de t'ouvrir cette porte. Mais qu'as-tu fait pour moi depuis que je te sers?
Qu'exiges-tu
de toi? Rien qu'une signature sur ce vieux parchemin, je sauve Marguerite de l'assaut. Si tu jures et signes ton serment de me servir demain.
Et comment fait demain quand je souffre à cette heure? Donne-le. Voilà mon nom, vers ce sombre de mer, pour l'entendre des mots. Où tu ressuscites, Marguerite Chapour.
À moi, Vortex, qui a
thank you.
Rise up again to heaven, artless soul that love led astray. Words of the chorus of celestial spirits and children at the end of Berlioz's dramatic legend, The Damnation of Faust. Performed here in the Barbican Concert Hall and live on Radio 3 by Brian Heimel as Faust, Christopher Purvis as Mephistopheles, Karen Cargill as Marguerite, with the Tiffin Children's Choirs and London Symphony Chorus, chorus mastermind Simon Halsey, and the London Symphony Orchestra led by Roman Simovic and conducted by Simon Rattle. And the Tiffin Children's Choirs taking their applause in the stalls, in the aisles of the stalls, and indeed between the stalls. Dominic Neville, the director of the Tiffin Girls Choir, James Day, the director of the Tiffin Children's Chorus and Boys Choir. I don't know how many of them there are, but a fair number. And walked silently down and sang at the very end there as Marguerite was raised to heaven. Hard to believe that the first performances at the Opéra Comique in Paris were received with indifference and by some critics with extraordinarily personal hostility, perhaps because of Berlioz being a critic himself. Back onto the platform come Christopher Purvis, Brian Heimel, Karen Cargill. Simon Rattle absent, allowing the three soloists to get the applause. Now, here comes Simon Rattle. Together with the chorus master, Simon Halsey of the London Symphony Chorus, James Day and Dominic Neville of the Tiffin Children's Choirs. Huge roar for the London Symphony Chorus. And a lot of people standing in approbation of what's been going on stage tonight. Well, if you missed the opening concert of the This Is Rattle 10-day celebration of the start of this combination of the London Symphony Orchestra with Simon Rattle as their new music director, then don't forget you've probably got 27 days in which to explore that concert on the Radio 3 in Concert page of the BBC Radio 3 website. Andrew Clements in The Guardian's reviews said that utterly different pieces, all superbly played by the LSO, everything played so precisely by Rattle. The concert was hugely impressive. The start of this new era for the LSO could hardly have been more auspicious, and I suspect that that has carried on this evening. And this whole festival carries on day by day. Tomorrow evening at 7:30 at Milton Court, concert hall over the way in the Guildhall School of Music and Drama. Thomas Addis creates a concert of music by many composers of import over the last 50 or so years, not, I think, including himself, looking briefly at that. And Helen Grime curates on Wednesday evening. Both those composers have their music played on Thursday. Back come the soloists. And here on Radio 3, we're back live here in the Barbican Concert Hall at 7:00 on Thursday evening, when Simon Rattle achieves a long-held ambition to conduct the first three great Stravinsky ballet scores written for Diaghilev's Ballet Russe in a single evening. The Fairy Tale of the Firebird, the Street Theatre of Petrushka, and the brutal prehistoric sacrifice of the Rite of Spring. That should be some evening. Do join me if you can. It starts, as I say, the earlier time of 7:00. But for now, with all audience and performers on their feet, time for me to hand you on to Broadcasting House, where Mark Forrest is waiting to host the rest of your Radio 3 evening. Mark.
Thank you so much, Martin. Martin Handley, wasn't it interesting to hear Simon Rattle saying at the start of that concert he thought that Damnation of Faust was something that Monty Python man Terry Gilliam should be in charge of? Because that was my introduction to the work in that jaw-dropping, colourful and outlandish production that Gilliam directed for ENO at the London Coliseum. What was it? 6 years ago? And there it was, as part of Rattle at Radio 3. We're in the Scottish capital tomorrow evening with another chance to hear a concert first broadcast last month as part of the Edinburgh Festival. James McMillan conducts the BBC's Scottish Symphony Orchestra in performances of Walton's mature and subtle Second Symphony, Tippett's much-loved Fantasia Concertante on a theme of Corelli, plus McMillan's own Epiclesis, a trumpet concerto featuring soloist Ole Edvard Antonsson. And you can enjoy that concert here on Radio 3 tomorrow evening at 7:30. What is it now? 9:12. Drama on 3 is here at 9 with Gina McKee starring in Florian Zeller's The Mother. McKee, who played the role to great acclaim on stage last year, reprises it tonight as a woman coming to terms with empty nest syndrome. Her children have grown up, leaving her at home with a husband she suspects of having affairs. It's a terrific role, and Gina McKee grabs it with relish in this translation by Christopher Hampton, music by Philip Glass, The Mother, drama on 3 in a little over 10 minutes from now. Well, Martin Handley, who you heard there live at the Barbican, will be at the St Albans International Organ Festival for Radio 3 in concert on Tuesday. Three of the UK's finest choirs, those of St Albans Cathedral, St Paul's Cathedral and the Temple Church, combine forces to perform music ranging from a majestic anthem by S.S. Wesley to Leonard Bernstein's ebullient Chichester Psalms. As a taster, let's hear from the festival founder, organist and composer Peter Herford. This is Peter's arrangement for organ and brass ensemble of part of John Stanley's Suite from Ten Voluntaries, Opus 6. takes me back to playing organ at weddings as a teenager, because I often suggested that John Stanley Voluntary is a bit of a change from Purcell, which everybody else seemed to go for. The Suite from Ten Voluntaries, Opus 6, numbers 5 and 6, by John Stanley. They're arranged by the organist Peter Herford and played by Peter and the Michael Laird Brass Ensemble. Peter worked for many years as organist and choir master at St Albans Cathedral and founded the St Albans International Organ Festival in 1963, in part to celebrate the building of a new organ there. Well, it's much expanded, and you can hear highlights from this year's festival at 7:30 on Tuesday, Radio 3 in Concert, which will feature music by Vaughan Williams, the wonderful Lux Aurumque from Eric Whittaker, as well as music by S.S. Wesley, Tippett and Bernstein's Chichester Psalms.
Sir Simon Rattle's homecoming celebrations with the London Symphony Orchestra culminate in a concert of Stravinsky's revolutionary early ballets, all three of them in a single, thrilling, virtuosic and explosive evening. They perform The Firebird, Petrushka, and The Rite of Spring. Rattle at Radio 3 continues next Thursday evening at 7:30. Live on BBC Radio 3.
This is Radio 3. It's exactly at 9 o'clock. Tonight and next week, Drama on 3 presents two companion stage plays by the celebrated French writer Florian Zeller. Next week, you can hear the darkly funny West End hit The Father, featuring Kenneth Cranham's award-winning portrayal of a man grappling with dementia. Tonight, we have The Mother, Zeller's powerful study of empty nest syndrome, starring Gina McKee. It's introduced by its translator, Christopher Hampton. The play contains strong language.
Florian Zeller wrote The Mother in 2009. It therefore precedes the companion piece that he wrote a couple of years later, The Father, which I also translated into English and was the first of his plays to be done in English. Both plays deal with a character whose universe is collapsing, imploding. In the case of The Father, it's a man suffering from incipient Alzheimer's. And in the case of The Mother, it's a woman who is heading for a nervous breakdown, who's suffering from what I believe is called empty nest syndrome. Both characters are treated with sympathy and wit by the author, but the originality of the two plays lies in the fact that we experience these conditions through the eyes or through the feelings of the characters themselves, so that as their reality fractures and fragments, so we are led into the world as they are experiencing it. This doesn't necessarily mean that we can always follow what's happening, but then, of course, neither can the characters.
The Mother by Florian Zeller. Translated from the French by Christopher Hampton. With Gina McKee and Tom Goodman Hill.
There you are.
Yes.
You're a bit late.
A bit, yes. All right.
Yes. Yes. Where were you? This afternoon.
What did you say?
Where were you?
Why?
Just wondered, that's all.
What about you? Good day.
Why are you asking me that when you know the answer?
What is to know?
You're interested.
Yes.
You know perfectly well my day was shitty.
What's the matter with you? Anne?
Nothing. I'm just wondering why you bother to pretend.
Me? Pretend what?
To be interested.
But I'm not pretending at all.